We're going to continue in our series in Hebrews today. We'll be in Hebrews 5 today. We'll read that chapter in its entirety. Hebrews 5. There are 14 verses in that chapter. Beginning to read in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just pray, Lord, that you will watch over your word this morning to perform it. Perform it, Lord, in each one of us. Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I would speak only the words you've ordained for this morning, Lord. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. The main point of this passage is found in verse 11, which I'll read it again for you. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. The writer, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, is saddened by the lack of spiritual discernment among the people. Spiritual sensitivity is essential in believers' lives. The goal of this passage seems to be to encourage the Hebrews of the day and believers for all time, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, as it said in verse 14 of our text. We all need discernment, and discernment comes through the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you are not going to have spiritual discernment. Our discernment builds equivalently to our knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. Let me explain how that works. When we see things or we hear things, we have to have the ability to discern that, filter it through what the Word of God has to say. This is how we can discern what is false what comes from the enemy, because he's a liar, he's the father of lies. Amen?
Amen?
And so when we know the Word of God, then we can filter what we see or what we hear through the Word of God and discern thereby what is from the enemy, what comes up from self. Our self is an enemy too, you know that, right? And what comes from God. So, our flesh deceives us, the enemy deceives us, but God will never, ever deceive us.
Amen.
So we need to learn to be discerning. So, let's talk about spiritual discernment as we look at the first four verses of our text. Scripture spoke historically to its immediate situation, and it speaks prophetically to all future circumstances. An earthly high priest was God's human instrument for the recipients of the Hebrews' letter. This man, as God's minister, aids believers in their development of spiritual discernment. So let's look at what it's talking about here. First, the first verse says, every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for their sins. So this was the role of a high priest. It was a man ordained by men. A high priest was set apart by men to minister to them. A high priest had the same basic needs as those he ministered to. Okay, so that was then. Now let's break this down. What about pastors? Pastors are men just like you. Same kinds of struggles, struggling with sin. Just because a pastor is a pastor does not mean that the pastor doesn't deal with the same kinds of struggles that you do. I can tell you from experience, been a pastor now for 23 years, we struggle with the same kind of stuff. I have never stood up here and tried to make it sound like I was superior to any of you, because I'm not. What I am is called by God, as we read. What a pastor is first and foremost, there should be an evidence of the call of God on their life. That's the only reason I'm a pastor. The ordaining council that ordained me, and before that, when I was pastoring in the American Baptist denomination, I was licensed through them, I was examined by a board, and found to possess the calling and the gifts for pastoring, and was licensed in that structure. Then when I left that structure, I was ordained by a different ordaining council that ordained me for the work, and I was again examined and found that God clearly had put a call on my life, and then as a result of that, I was ordained by men. Where we've got a problem in our culture today is there are people that they go through all of the channels. They go through Bible college and they go through seminary and they jump through all of the hoops that man has established. And so then there is an ordaining council and they're ordained. But today we have many people that end up being ordained and in the ministry, but there was never a clear call of God. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's the problem with that stringent structure. So then you end up with people that are in the pulpits in the United States that have a desire to be a pastor, but never had the call. Some of them are very gifted public speakers, but you can discern the difference between one who is just gifted in the area of public speaking and the one who is anointed and called by God Because you will see the power of God evident in the one that is called by God and then ordained by men. In the other situation, you won't experience the power of God. You will experience somebody that's got a gift for public speaking. Do you hear what I'm saying? Big difference. Before I was a pastor, unfortunately, sat under a pastor for 10 years in the church that we were in. We were enduring. You understand what I'm saying? He shared one time in a Bible study that he was leading that when he felt the call of God on his life, he saw a PC and discerned that to be preach Christ. I discerned that it should have been plant corn. You understand what I'm saying? I love Jesus with all my heart, but sitting under that, I had a really hard time not falling asleep. I was working a lot of hours and I had a tough time. That particular pastor at one point, after I had gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, showed up at my house with a book, black and red and white covered book, that was entitled Neo-Pentecostalism Hits the Church. And he tried to talk me out of what I had experienced in being filled with the Holy Ghost of the living God. How many of you know that didn't go well for him? But he tried his best to get me to believe that what I experienced wasn't really from God. I understand. I don't have anything against him. Well, he's passed on now, but I don't have anything against him, but I just was like, nah, you know, there's really no sense in you coming here with that book and trying to tell me the error of my ways anymore, because you are not going to change my mind. And I'm pretty sure I'm not going to change your mind. So we just need to agree to disagree. And he at that point said that he just wished all of these neo-Pentecostals would get out of his church. Now, let me explain something. What he didn't understand was what he termed as neo-Pentecostals. And what I'm talking about is spirit-filled believers. Okay? He went from making that statement to a few years later, not long before he retired, saying, I am so thankful for the neo-Pentecostals that God brought into my church. My point is this, from the scripture. People need to be, in this case, it was the high priest. We don't have high priests anymore. We have pastors that are under shepherds. Shepherds under Christ. He's the shepherd of shepherds. But my point is this. We've got to get back to identifying and confirming the call of God on a person's life before they are raised up into the position of pastor. We've got to get back to that place in this nation. Because all of the credentials that they have mean nothing if there's no true call of God. The difference is, instead of it being a calling, then it's a job. And when it's just a job, bad things happen.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying? Gotta move on. So, ordinary men, ordained by God, clear evidence of that, and then, as a result of that clear evidence of the calling, ordained by men. Also, a high priest had the same weaknesses as those whom he ministered. He took part in the same ignorance, the same iniquity, and the same tendency to be obstinate. You've heard me say several times, if you've been around here a while, you've heard me say, I am not going to go back to the old addictions that I left behind when I said yes to Jesus.
Amen.
It's just not going to happen anymore. The devil can't use that on me. That is not a temptation anymore. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's my all in all. And I don't need to self-medicate anymore.
Amen.
Jesus set me free. Okay? But boy, oh boy, you set me up with enough things that are wrong. And I can cop an attitude. And that's sin too. Amen?
Amen?
Just being real, guys. Pastors struggle too. Pastors aren't perfect either. That doesn't mean not trying. Hopefully, you're trying too. But sometimes we just blow it. And then we got to get before God and say, well, Lord, here I am again. I blew it. In verse 3, it says, this is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. Now, we don't offer sacrifices anymore, but we need to, all of us, myself included, repent of the sin that is in our own lives and the sins of the culture. We need to learn to renounce sin that is sin in our culture as well as the sin in our own lives. It's very, very important that we do that, that we repent of it and renounce those sins, the sins of the day. I talk about them sometimes because we need to understand what those things are. Obviously, too many things that are blatant sin have crept into the church in the United States of America. It's rampant. There are way too many liberal churches and liberal denominations out there. Could I get one or two witnesses today? It's important for us to stand for Christ. It says in Ephesians 6, having done everything to stand, stand therefore. It's not easy. And we're being rejected, and we are at the point in this nation where we are being persecuted. We're being called all kinds of names. How many of you realize that? By all kinds of evil people. I won't name any, but I think you can figure it out. A high priest was not above personal sin. He was very aware of his spiritual needs. Consequently, the sacrifices he offered to God were for his own sake as well as that of the others. His spiritual discernment involved self as well as others' wrongs. How many of you are familiar with the old order of things under the Aaronic priesthood? They used to have what was called a scapegoat. You ever hear the term scapegoat? You ever been a scapegoat? Okay, well, the high priest would put his hands on the goat that was selected to be the scapegoat, and he would pray all of the sins, his own and the sins of the people, onto the head of that scapegoat. And then that scapegoat was taken out, away from the community, way out, and turned loose to wander in the wilderness. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that anymore? All we got to do is get before God with all sincerity and humility. Confess our sins to Him. Ask His forgiveness. And commit to doing all we can with His help to overcome this tendency towards sin. No scapegoat. I would never call Jesus a scapegoat. Jesus is our healer. He's our deliverer. Amen? But Jesus replaced all of that old system.
Amen.
He said, I came to fulfill the law. I came to fulfill it. So Jesus took on himself the sin for all time. He took it on himself. And so we can go to him directly. And by the way, we don't have to go to him through anybody else. You don't have to go to him through me. You don't have to go to him through Mother Mary. You hear what I say?
Yeah.
You don't have to go to him through any of the saints. You have a direct line to Jesus. It's kind of like the bat phone. You young people that don't know what that is, you can ask your mom and dad. We have a direct line to Jesus. We have a direct line into the Holy of Holies because of the price that Jesus paid. Verse 4 says, no one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. There it is, guys. High priest. Priest needed to be called by God. First thing and foremost, and then ordained or called by man. Man confirming that call. An outstanding characteristic of a high priest is that although he was ordained by men, he was called by God. The position of high priest was not something a man took on himself. He was appointed by God to aid others in spiritual discernment or in a spiritual walk. Well, a pastor is called and ordained by God to do that with the people that God brings under him. To train up the people in the way that they should go. To preach the word of God in truth and with conviction. Not just piecemeal in the word of God a part of you, but preaching the whole counsel of God. Not avoiding things that are controversial. You know, I was watching TV this morning. There's two particular preachers that I do like to listen to that preach a good message. But I was thinking as I was getting ready to come over to the church today, I was thinking about it, and I heard two good messages at home before I came over here. But you know what? They were good messages, but neither one of them had anything in it that addressed what we are going through today. And that saddens me. See, we need more than a history lesson. We need to know the history. Okay? That's good. We need to know that. But if we are not getting messages that are relating to today and exposing the sin of the day in our culture, we're not being fed. We're being lulled to sleep. Can somebody give me a witness?
Yes.
As an earthly high priest was an aid to spiritual discernment, the heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ I'm talking about, is the source of spiritual discernment. Awareness of God and his activities is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you'll say, well, Pastor Wayne, you just contradicted what you said earlier in the message. You said discernment would come through the Word of God. To that I answer you, is Jesus or is he not the living Word? That's my answer, if that thought came to your mind. So ultimately, that's not a contradiction, right? Because he is the living Word. He is the source of discernment, as he is the living Word. In verse 5, we see Then it says, so Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, you are my son, today I have become your father. So in other words, he was begotten of God. Jesus did not seek glory for himself. Rather, the Father appointed him to the divine task of serving as our supreme high priest. As the Father is the paternal source of the Son, so Jesus is the source of our faith and discernment. He's the source of our faith as well. He builds in us faith. Another thing that's very important is to feed our faith that we are in the Word of God. We see in the Word of God victory after victory after victory in the Word of God after people went through things. Those victories that we read about and the ones that we experience in our own lives in our walk with Christ bolsters our faith. It bolsters my faith when I see someone else get blessed and I see the Word of God working in their lives. It bolsters my faith every time I see somebody get a victory. And praise God, we've seen a lot of victories over the years in this church. Straight up, flat out miracles. Many, many of them. Someday, if God so leads, and I think He will eventually, I want to have a service that is dedicated to testimonies from people that have gotten miracles from God in this church. See, in my mind, if I let people get up here and share those things, they're preaching. So, one day I believe God's going to lead to do that. You don't need to hear me every week. You get sick of that eventually, won't you?
No.
Verse 6 goes on to say, and he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The high priesthood of Christ is as unique as that of the Old Testament priest Melchizedek. Christ, like Melchizedek, is distinct in origin, order, and function. He's not of the order of the Aaronic priesthood. Not of that order. But here's what's interesting when it says that Christ is high priest in the order of Melchizedek. See, Melchizedek was very, very unique. He was the only priest that was also king. Okay? So if Jesus then is high priest in the order of Melchizedek, what that is saying is this. He's the high priest, but he's also the King of Kings. He's both as well. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is the High Priest. He looks out for us. We talked about some of the duties of the priest. Jesus watches out for us. We can't run far enough from God that He can no longer see us. And that's why when we have spent time running from God, and then we all of a sudden come to the place where to the end of ourselves, and we turn around. There He is, right there. We don't have to turn around and run back. He's right there because He didn't let us wander too far from Himself. I don't know about you, but that gives me some kind of inner peace. Because listen, we get stupid sometimes. Isn't that right? We get stupid sometimes. And when He woke up, He woos us. Jesus was obedient through suffering. In our eighth verse, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. What can we take from that? You and I also will learn obedience through the things we suffer if we don't get mad in the midst of that, reject Christ, and shake our fist at him. But if we will throw ourselves on his mercy instead, then we will grow through the hard things that we go through. And just as is said in verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. How many of you would admit that there have been times in your life, maybe right now, that you've been doing some suffering? Yeah, me too. My wife and I, it ain't been all easy for us. Making a decision to follow Christ brought some pretty heavy-duty stuff in our lives over the time. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. I love God with all my heart, and I trust Him with me, myself, with my spouse, with my children, with my children's children. I trust Him because He is trustworthy. He's proven it over and over and over again, and that's my testimony to you. You can trust God with everything.
Amen.
So trials and tribulations develop a sensitive spirit if we will stay in our walk with Christ. I, in the 23 years that I have been pastoring, have seen way too many people that gave their lives to Christ and started out well, but something happened, something catastrophic happened, and they just turned away from God and said, well, I tried that, it didn't work for me. And that grieves my heart as a pastor. Absolutely grieves my heart. Because they started out well. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something that's going to give you an awakening that you can carry through the rest of your life. It don't make any difference how we start. What matters is how we finish.
Amen.
So finish strong, guys. Stay in the fight no matter what. Stay in there. Because all that matters is how we finish. Though Christ was by nature in total obedience to his Father, he was made even more aware of the Father's will through hardships and sufferings. As the Son of God developed, so the sons and daughters of God must develop in their spiritual discernment. We develop as we obey God. It is vital that we learn to be obedient to God. Now, when I say that, I'm saying that we enter into a pattern of obedience. All sin and fall short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. And that's a fact. So we blow it once in a while. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden we've lost our salvation. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yeah.
We just repent, get on with God. And I'm not making light of sin. I'm just saying, listen, we blow it sometimes. When I say we, obviously, I'm saying me and you. I'm including myself in that. But praise God, He's forgiving. Praise God that He's made it abundantly clear, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we serve.
Yeah.
He secured salvation for us in verse 9. Of our text. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Hello? Doesn't that mean that people that have no desire to obey him must not really be saved? Pastor. How many times, if you've been around here for a long time, have you heard me insist that he must be Lord and Savior for you to truly be born again?
Yes.
How many times have you heard me make that statement? Well, here's another scripture that has made it abundantly clear how important it is, because of the relationship that we have in Jesus, because we have been born again with the Spirit of the living God, that we enter into a life of doing our best to obey. That means we stop making excuses for our sin when we face it head on. Joyce Meyer gets out her excuse bag. How many of you have seen Joyce Meyer's excuse bag? Yeah, she gets out her excuse bag and starts pulling them out. It's kind of cute, all the different ones she's got, but it makes a very good visual point. We got to burn up the excuse bag. Somebody's got some splaining to do. No moral imperfections existed within Jesus, of course. Yet his life was one of continually growing awareness. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. This happened as Jesus died on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice. The resulting salvation is limited to only those who enter into a life of obedience to him. In other words, he is Lord and Savior. It's not all too many preachers that will make that statement, because they're afraid there's too many people will leave the church. Well, I can't see any reason for anyone to continue to come to this church that is not interested in becoming a true believer. Might as well go and have a chair open for somebody that's real. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, how can you say that? That's going to make the offering smaller? Okay. My guy's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'll just tell him to ask him to sell a few. Bring the money in. God is our source. Right? We're going to wrap it up here. There's a need that's revealed. Verse 11, we have much to say about this, it says, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Ouch! Ouch! He just said to the Hebrews and to all of us for all time that we're slow to learn. What that's talking about, ultimately, is not that we can't learn, but we too often choose not to learn.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Let's just get real with it. This is church. We choose too often not to learn. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? How do I choose not to learn? Well, how many people are stagnated in their faith and stagnated in the Word of God? And we have a phenomenal Wednesday night Bible study for adults, but people choose not to bother coming. So thereby, you choose to remain ignorant of the Word of God. Isn't that right? And I understand that people have things in their life. Please understand, I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just putting it out there, scenarios. Or choose to attend church once or twice a month or once or twice every 2 months instead of coming to church regularly and getting in the flow of the Spirit and hearing a constant diet of the Word. Thereby, we are choosing to remain ignorant. Isn't that right? Our God is aware that His readers are slow to learn. We are in dire need of the spiritual discernment available through Christ, His Word. Then there's the cause of the need. It's talked about in verses 12 and 13. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. So the Christian community has failed to make spiritual progress. That is why we are in the situation that we are in this nation right now. Because people started just going to church and were no longer being the church. We've got to get back to a holy conviction, a holy boldness. Take a stand for what is right. But the first step in that is having what is right established in each one of us. I want to tell you something. There's something wrong when people in the Church of Jesus Christ are willing, because they have no biblical worldview, are willing to go into a voting booth and vote for abortion and all kinds of other evil things when they vote for the people that they're giving the nod to. We've got a big problem, and the church is going to pay for this. She's paid already. We are without excuse. I want to tell you something. Let me expound on that. When we do that, when people that profess to be Christians do that, they're ignoring the Word of God. They've chosen to violate the Word of God. And when you put your mark, your vote for a person that has outwardly said, this is who I am, then the blood of those slaughtered babies is on your hands. And you will give an account before a holy God one day if there's no repentance. You say, Pastor, you're getting pretty rough. You know what? You are under my care, and it's my responsibility to tell you what the truth is. And my friends, this is the truth. Now it's your responsibility to do with it what's right. Instead of advancing in the new spiritual dimension, the body of Christ in this country keeps reverting to a review of the fundamentals of the New Testament faith. Reminds me of a pastor, this is a true story. Pastor one time preached the same message for over 2 months. The same, not a different version of the same message. Every week he got in the pulpit and preached the same message. Finally, one of the leaders in the church got him off to the side and said, what are you doing? The pastor said, what do you mean? Well, the leader said, you've been preaching the same message for weeks. And the pastor said, yeah. When I see the people start to put what I've been preaching into practice, I'll move on. If you see me preach the same message a second time and a third time, better look down, look inside. Maybe pastor's trying to get something into me here. Maybe he's trying to shake me up a little bit. The key to growth. Verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Did you hear that? We need to learn to distinguish good from evil. What we're talking about is that we have a biblical worldview. A mature Christian has the ability to digest the solid food of God. The key to attaining spiritual growth is simple. We must exercise the spiritual insights we already possess. When we respond to the revelations we already have, we then receive additional revelation. This is the key to developing spiritual discernment. We have to put into action our faith. Faith is action. All right? Faith is action. So we have to put into practice the revelation that we have, and then before we get more revelation. God will not keep heaping revelation on revelation when we are not practicing what we have, the revelation that we've gotten. Am I making sense? This is a powerful chapter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very powerful chapter, man. God's teaching us. I'm so thankful for God's word because he makes it so clear for us. Even a dummy like me can get it. Are you guys ready? Because God is about to unleash a fresh move of his spirit. I've been sensing it now for weeks. I'm telling you guys, you can take this to the bank. God is about to release a fresh move of his spirit. Are you ready? We have a good, good God. He has not given up on you and me. He has not given up on this nation. He has not given up on his children in Israel. Even though they don't look like God's people right now and aren't acting like God's people a lot of times, they're still God's people, and he's going to redeem them. And God is going to unleash soon the redeeming spirit of the living God. There's going to be an outpouring. And people are going to be looking for churches that are real, that are preaching the whole word of God with conviction in truth.
Amen.
So are you ready for the influx? Because I want to tell you something. When that happens, we're going to have a lot of work to do because it's our responsibility to disciple them.
Amen.
We're going to have work to do, guys.
Amen.
So it's not going to be just come to church on Sunday morning and go back home. We're going to have work to do because these people are going to need cared for. They're going to need loved on, and they're going to need taught. And I can only do some of that from this pulpit. They're going to need people like I needed people when I was a new believer. If I had not had the people that imparted into my life, I wouldn't have made it. Because the draw was strong to pull me back into what I walked out of. It was strong. The enemy was relentless. But I had people. Will you be those people to people that come in, give their lives to Christ, and need discipling? Because there will be many that know nothing about the Word of God, know nothing about living this life. Amen?
Amen.
Can we stand together? Father, I just raise my hands as your under shepherd, and I proclaim peace. I proclaim the fire of the Holy Spirit over every one of your people. I pray your conviction. I pray for the power, the raw power of your Spirit to manifest in each and every one of us. Lord, we've heard your word, and some of it's pretty convicting. But Lord God, may we take that and do something with it, Lord God, with a fresh fire to walk with you in a fresh way, to listen to you and act on the revelation that we get, Lord God. Prepare us. Continue to prepare us. Thank you that soon there's going to be a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. And we pray, Lord God, that you will equip us as individuals and equip this church to be ready for that influx of new believers. Watch over us now, Lord. Protect us. May your glory be our rear guard as we walk with you. Protect us from the enemy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.